Welcome to the Jeff Blumenkrantz Songbook Podcast, special episode 3. Yes, it's been a while, but I happened to meet someone who made it really worth getting back into the podcast studio for a new episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jose Lana.
hello.
Oh my God, it's getting too self-referential. Thank you so much for coming to do this.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
It was so great meeting you. We met at Broadway Idol. I mean, this is after years of me having seen you. And you know what I realized as I was going through your credits? I was like, I have seen almost every Jose Lana performance.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not stalking
you. Very varied performances, and randomly varied shows.
Yeah, but amazing.
Well,
I mean,
you.
And you're like a year old. You are.
Well, I've been lucky. I've been working for a while, and I'm just 31 now. So it's. I feel like, I mean, I think someone in my last show, I kept being referred to as the veteran in the cast, which didn't make me feel too good sometimes, but it was sort of true.
No, but how amazing to be, you know, a 31-year-old veteran. I mean, King and I was your first professional gig.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You were how old?
When I got the show when I was 18, and we opened when I was 19.
Ridiculous.
And we just actually had a reunion with most of the cast, most of the kids, actually. And some of these kids were 12,
like
11.
Like the Siamese children kids?
Mm-hmm. And now they're 24 and in the Air Force and bigger than
God.
Me. And so it was really great, and it was a little overwhelming because I sort of look quasi the same from 10 years ago.
Yeah, you actually do.
And these kids don't. And Donna Murphy was there, and she is a whole different person than she was 10 years ago with a baby now.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it was a wonderful sort of reminder of that was a good 11-12 years ago.
Mm.
So yeah.
But wait, I'm going back to like meeting you at Broadway Idol.
Okay.
So Jose was judging Broadway Idol, which was mm-hmm. part of the New York Musical Theater Festival. It's where ten contestants compete for the honor of Broadway Idol. And I was there as a crazy fan for Alicia Umphress.
For the best singer there, in my sincere, honest opinion. We were all shocked.
I know. She got eliminated that night. But it was like American Idol, where the people, like, you text your vote. It wasn't like the judges decide.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It felt like, for me, that night, it felt like we were in a middle school, like, presidential campaign or something, where it wasn't really about who would be the best. It was, like, who the popularity contest, how many people brought their friends that night to vote.
Well, whatever it was, she's amazing, and I got to meet you. And I went, like, right up to Jose, and I was like, oh, hi, I'm Jeff Blumenkrantz.
It was the same way. I was like, oh, my gosh, Jeff Blumenkrantz, hi.
And then I was like, oh, shit. I've got to ask you to do a podcast. Did you? I don't know if you saw, like, my eyes kind of click. I was like, I have a song I want you to sing. So anyway.
Well,
so.
I mean, when I saw you, I mean, Celia and I have spent so much time together this past couple of years.
Yeah.
So, like, Keenan Bolger. And when she did your podcast a while back, about a year ago now?
At least, probably more.
She told me about it, and I became the instant, because I'd known who you were, obviously, as a composer, as an actor and as a composer. And thank God she led me onto the podcast, because I became an instant fan of it, and I listened to it every time a new one came on, and because of that, Joan Leder has a copy of, you know, your music on her piano now. So I mean, it's when you asked me to even the possibility of me coming in here, it was just an honor and a thrill to join the company that you have on that podcast.
I know,
quite
amazing.
Some illustrious name.
I know
there.
It's just blows my mind, but thank you.
So
I think I remember. You know Carolyn Marlowe, right?
Yeah.
So she, because we are old friends.
That's from Into the Woods, I would
guess, Into the Woods,
right?
Yeah. And so I remember her telling me about you. She's like, oh, yeah. Well, when you were doing King and I, because I guess she was teaching there. Mm-hmm. This is, Carolyn's I don't know if she's a professor or what her title is, but
at Manhattan
School of Music, where you attended.
I was a freshman when I got the King and I.
Yeah, so she was probably bragging about you.
And she taught the musical theater ensemble, which is purely an elective after regular course load thing we did.
Yeah. And I've done some arranging for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
We did a Bernstein review that year.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Like, all the advice I got from all the different teachers there about when I got the offer to do the King and I, there was such a very... Because it was a classical school, and...
Did they tell you not to do it?
Some people did.
Oh.
And it was interesting. And, like, it was an interesting place. And I love it. I mean, it was the teachers there were really good, but they were all clearly... had us on the set course of being classical singers, and that some of them didn't see Broadway as, you know, and I thought, you know.
And then there was Carolyn.
Yeah, who was like the biggest cheerleader.
Yeah. I'm sure she was like, sign here now.
But I'm glad I went there, because I think it's what's led me to get half the jobs I've gotten, is that to have that classical background and be able to do a lot of the legit stuff that I like doing and can do if I need to. So,
mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Yeah, well, you came on strong. I mean, you just were great from, like, out of the gate. And then just, I think the only performance of yours, I'm going to enumerate the performances of yours that I saw. King and I.
Okay.
I'm not going to do this in order. I didn't see you in Rent. Was that next?
No, that was my fourth show.
Oh, okay. On the Town?
Mm-hmm. That was second. I dropped with King and I.
Saturn Returns?
Yeah. My
favorite. Amazing.
That's my top of the list.
I remember you singing that song. You sang Here Only
Yeah.
And,
you know, and to be so young and to get... I was 21 when I did that. And I didn't, you know, I didn't even think about what Off-Broadway was. Or, you know, when you're young, all you care about is getting in a Broadway show.
And, mm-hmm.
and then the connection was Adam had seen me, obviously, in The King and I because of his mother.
Just to clarify, this is the Adam Gettle Show, now known as Myths and Hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Carry on.
And they were auditioning for the public production, public theater production, and I hadn't really heard of him because I just heard of Floyd Collins and didn't really make the connection too quickly. But he was I'd never connected so much with a composer and the music, and actually every guy I think who auditioned for that had to sing Hero and Leander. Mm. Like that was the guy song for the audition to learn, and
mm-hmm.
difficult song,
mm-hmm.
and even more difficult to learn without having a tape to hear it first.
Right.
So I think that was sort of their test to see like what different people did with it, and of course working with Adam and Tina Landau and Ted Sperling, it was just, and I think I was actually a little too young to really fully understand the people I was working with. I was just so happy to be there and
mm-hmm.
met Bob Stillman and Terry McCarthy, and just it was just the most amazing experience. And to this day, I still go back to that experience, and I'm just so thankful that I was exposed to such talent and passion that young an age, and I sort of hopefully carry that through with everything I do.
Yeah,
so,
well,
it was amazing.
I remember your performance. You were fantastic.
Thank you.
Also, then Rent would have come after that.
Right after that,
I
yeah.
didn't see that one. I saw Rent. I just didn't see Jose in Rent.
I was the largest angel in any
really?
Cast. And you know, the joke was like they actually used two former angels' costumes to make mine.
Shut
you
up.
Know, and thankfully Michael McElroy was my Tom Collins. He's not a small guy either, and
yeah.
so, but still, when he first saw me, he's like, "Oh no, like, I gotta lift your ass around a table
oh,
every night."
Like he has to worry about like lifting things.
Like in the middle of in between shows, I'd be in the green room, like eating my you know fatty beefed broccoli, you know, takeout, and people would walk by, like, "You sure you want to eat that?" You know, it's
oh,
like
funny.
I play a drag queen and I need to be thin. But it was a fun year. That was a fun year.
Yeah, I bet. Martin Guerra?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that in L.A.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
I'm like,
I'm telling you,
no.
I've seen it all. I don't remember it real well, I have to say.
Thank God. No, I mean, it was the show had so much heart in many different directions. It just, it didn't have its identity, didn't know what it wanted to be, and so many director's hats, and every producer was trying to be a director, and every musical director was putting their two cents in, and it was a lot of really passionate and talented people, but just... And on top of that, the best cast I've ever worked with, and just fun and nice, and we're still close to this day. And we spent 8 months on the road together. I mean, every time I hear someone mention, oh, I'm doing the pre-Broadway tour of this show, I'm like, yeah.
Hold my breath.
That's the quickest way to put an axe in any show's neck, is
yeah.
calling it a pre-Broadway production.
Know.
So we actually, I think they had jackets made up that said pre-Broadway on it. And I said, why would you?
Jinx.
You're just exactly. Just so... But again, I've made some really close friends. Hunter Foster was in that cast.
Mm.
My good friend Jody Langle was in there too. So, and Aaron Dilley, Hugh Pinheiro, Stephen Buntra. It was just
yeah,
a fantastic
great people.
Cast. Yeah.
I'm moving on because I'm realizing like we have so much to talk about, but we also have a song to sing.
Yes.
Wait, there is Flower Drum Song.
Right. That was 3 years of my life. It was amazing.
I loved that production.
Did you really?
I really did.
Good.
I just. I feel like it should still be running. I just thought it was so good.
It was so sweet. It had a lot of heart to it, you know. And I think I think I'm biased, obviously, because it was such a big part of my life for 3 years. But David Henry Hwang had such a commitment to it, and Bobby Longbottom, and I don't know, they were really open and kind, especially when we did the first production in Los Angeles. David was open to, when she cast myself and Leia Salonga and Sandra Allen, he was still shaping the rewrites for the parts, and he took a lot of who we were as people. So over the next 3 years, it was hard for me to sort of separate myself from Ta, the character Ta, because there were so many things in the script that he sort of took from conversations we had about me and my father and me and my parents. And when my parents came and saw it on Broadway, it was...
Did they freak out?
It was a little intense because I wrote them each letters and to tell them, like, you know, when you see the show tonight for the first time, it's going to be a little hard for you to separate your son and the actor on stage because I'm doing a very similar part to who I am. And it was touching. And it was... I have to say, for me, my career was pre-Flower Drum and then post-Flower Drum. I think I sort of grew up in that show.
Wow.
So, and took responsibility for my performances more and my role as a leader in a cast.
Yeah, I mean, being a leading man, it's like, you really do. Where was I just saying? Oh, it was on the Joseph. I was watching the Joseph series, they cast, you know, the reality show from London.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And they talk about that. You know, that's kind of come up as like a concept, like when you're a leading man, you have to...
And no one teaches that in school.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't. It's not this hierarchy thing. You know, everyone's equal in the cast, and I really believe that, but... There's a point where if you are the leading man in a company, and Lou Diamond Phillips actually was the first example I've had of that, where he was a leader and people look to you to as an example of how to act in with each other and with a director, and I take that seriously, I really do. And I was sort of like the de facto, I guess, leading man in Spelling Bee, since I was sort of like the little young Boy Scout in it or something, as I was the veteran of the cast,
right.
You know. So I mean, there was it just. It's little things that you do every day, bringing treats to the green room, or, you know, just little things like that I think make for a good work environment,
totally.
Which is important. So
I want to work with you.
Let's work together. Let's write a show.
I want you to be the leading man in a show I'm in. and you just segued into what I think probably most people associate with nowadays, which is Spelling Bee. Such an adorable performance.
It was, again, I've been blessed with a very varied... 10 years of opportunities, and if someone told me 3 years ago that someone was going to offer me a comedy, first of all, like, I'd never gotten offered to do comedies before. I was the, you know, the singer or the leading man thing, and I think it was because there was a big gap of time. There was about a year and a half that I didn't really do any theater in New York because I was doing a pop album in the Philippines.
Doing my research. I mean, I haven't listened to it, but...
And it was purely because I just did a show with Leia, and... obviously, everyone in the Philippines was watching, and so all these producers in LA and in the Philippines were, when we closed in on Broadway, they said, well, come here and we can do something. And so I did, and I had a good year there. It was a good time.
But you spent a whole year there?
No, I spent four-month periods there.
Concertizing over the course of the year and stuff?
Recording, releasing, concerts. It was, like, you know, the big really album machine. And
wow.
And getting to know my country better and my family there. I have a lot of family there still.
Uh-huh.
So I was sort of out of the loop in New York. And also, I was a little brokenhearted about Flower Drum Song when we closed. It was also during the musician strike. So I honestly was ready to not do theater for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, here I was, 28 years old. And
jaded.
And jaded about it. And I was literally, I called my agent, and I think it was just around Halloween. And I said, I'm back. I'm coming back. I'd been gone for about 4 months, and they'd been sort of had me on hold. And on purposely not telling me what I was missing in terms of auditioning, because I just didn't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm taking the next week's flight. And my agent was like, if you can actually make it back by this week, Tara Rubin has been casting this off-Broadway show at Second Stage, and they've been having a hard time casting this part, and she really wants to bring you in for this. And I said, oh. Okay, so I like scrounged around, and I took the next day flight.
Mm-hmm.
That week, I landed like on a Wednesday. I knew it was Bill Finn, so I prepared something on the plane. I was going to do this horrible, reworded version of Games I Play. That never happened because they just asked me to sing the song from the show.
Uh-huh.
Thank God I didn't sing that. What? Bill, if you're listening, thank God, because you would have hated that. I was singing it like a kid. Anyway, and so I literally landed on the tarmac, and the next day I sang for them, and the day after that I had a callback, and within like days I had a new show, and it was off Broadway, and I was just so happy to be back in the theater game, and it was creating a part in a Bill Finn musical. It was it was a dream. It was unbelievable. And on top of that, meeting people like Celia and Sarah Salzberg and Dan Fogler and just the most talented and insane group of people I've ever had the pleasure of being retarded with.
Ha!
So it was 2 years of extreme creative love and joy. Uh-huh. And that's that cast and that's the show. So, and I got to play myself at 12 years old or 13.
Really? That was autobiographical?
Everything. The Boy Scout uniform.
But what about your song?
I'd have to say, when I tell people that everyone in the show is sort of typecast and basically wrote their parts themselves based on themselves.
Yeah.
It's pretty true.
Stop.
It's pretty true.
That's like, very, very, you know, brave of you to confess on this podcast.
You know, there's
Jose, Lana.
Everyone goes
unfortunate
through
their
prepubescent motions. And I do remember once I was in choir in seventh grade, and I was getting a little thankful that I was in the third row in the risers. That's all I'll say.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Well, amazing career, and I can't wait to hear you sing my song.
I can't wait to sing it.
So Jose's going to sing this song called Why Can't I Kiss You? And it's not from anything. It was just something I wrote. I wrote music and lyrics. And, the only thing I want to mention is that I had been working on a piece that took place in the 30s. And the 30s was really in my head. And so when I went to write this song, it just came out as like a...
You can hear it, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a 30s song. So I didn't try and fight it. I just let it be. So... This is Jose Lana singing, Why Can't I Kiss You?
You and I keep sitting in a tree without K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Who's that sneaking out on a limb? Oh my gosh, it's me. Why can't I kiss you when I want to so badly? Want to since the first time we met? Why can't I kiss you when I've had a dozen chances? Every wasted chance, a new regret. It's not as if I've never kissed before. I've seen the room, I just can't seem to find the door. Why can't I kiss you when you're standing right beside me? Every time I try, my courage goes. Why can't I kiss you? Who knows? It's not like we don't have the time and place. The only thing we're missing is the face to face. What if I kissed you? Would you shy away completely? Or meet me out here on my shaky limb? Sink or swim? Rain or drought? Why can't I kiss you? What if I kissed you? I'll have to kiss you and find out.
Jose, that was dreamy.
Thank you. It was a beautiful song.
Thanks. And so right for you and what you do. So what do you have coming up now?
Honestly, there's a lot of, it's, what's nice is when you're not in a nightly eight shows a week thing, you get thrown into the whole workshop and reading list.
Yeah.
You know, and I've actually been doing a lot of work for Broadway Cares lately. I've been doing a lot of flying around for the Broadway Delivers thing. And I'm working on a new musical by Kara Reichel called a musical adaptation of As You Like It. So
with Pete Mills?
Yeah.
So good.
Exactly. So that just that. And we'll see what the winter brings.
Oh, good luck with that.
Thank you.
But that's like, I won't get to see that.
Yeah, I'm sure they would love for you to be. An industry like invite thing.
Okay, if you can invite me, I want to come.
Of course, of course.
Wait, I want to talk about something I'm about to do. Wait, okay. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No.
Oh, actually, I have two things I want to talk about. Okay, the first one is the Jeff Lumencrantz songbook, Songs in My Attic. Ooh. Concert at Birdland on Sunday, November 4th. I did lots of concerts when my songbook came out, and it was always the songs from the book, the songs from the podcast, the songs from the book, plugging. And so I took this Birdland date, and I was like, what can I do that will not be the same thing? And I thought, oh, I'm going to pull out all the songs that no one's heard, the songs that got cut, the songs that I wrote on spec.
Great.
And I've assembled a wonderful group of special guests, including Adina Alexander, Donalyn Champlin, Laura Patinkin, David Perlman, and Alicia Umfres. And so that's, again, it's Sunday, November 4th at 7 p.m. at Birdland. And wait, where's the number? I cut it. 212-581-3080 for reservations. And the other thing is I'm going to be working on a whole new podcast series.
Ooh.
And this is basically exactly what I did for myself with the songbook and the podcast. But instead of my songs, it's going to be songs from the BMI workshop.
Cool.
So this is something to look forward to. The songs, we've picked the songs. They're amazing. We're assembling amazing singers to perform them. And I can't wait to start. It's going to probably be starting in the next month or so. So
exciting.
Look out for that, you guys. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for singing.
Thanks for having me.
And this is Jeff and Jose saying bye.